Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 411. And tonight, we are recapping two episodes of Lore Olympus, episodes 278, which is available for free right now on the Webtoons app, and 279, which is only available if you're fast passing. And 279, in case you've forgotten, is the penultimate episode to this entire series.
And we will have to get into an entire list of the items that still need to be resolved in the final episode. But we can do that after the recap.
Yes. So obviously, giant spoiler warnings. We are going to talk about everything that happens. So, okay. We start episode 278, and it starts with Persephone in the snow. As if you've forgotten, she was walking away from the whole debacle with Apollo, and she is determined to try and wake up the mortal realm again. This is her second attempt.
And we see her. She's missing Hades. She's thinking about the last time that she saw him, but she's trying to wake up the mortal realm. And we also see Ouranos talking about how he had plans and that his fate had been to be consigned to the sky with no body, which, you know, it wasn't the worst thing that could happen because he was still above everybody, but it wasn't ideal. So he has been waiting and he has been trying to get a vessel that he could use to become alive again with an actual physical body. And while both of these things are going on, we see Ares absolutely beating the tar out of Apollo. And Demeter is like pinning his shoulders to the ground as Ares is beating him up, screaming at him. At one point, you see Hestia start walking forward, and she is literally on fire. And we see her, like, grab hold of Apollo as Ares is holding him in place, and his clothes are starting to catch on fire. She's that mad. And I think we see a mass of nymphs just getting their licks in at one point. So, yeah, this is the beatdown that we've been hoping for.
Yeah. Now, we also see when Persephone is concentrating on trying to wake up the mortal realm, she is saying to, like, the ground that she's holding on to, if I can be healed, then you too can heal. And my goodness, a lot of the commenters were really latching onto that, that this idea of that healing is always possible. You know, she made it through, so can anybody else. And we switch back and forth, once again, you know, more of Ouranos talking about how he's been, I don't know, he was waiting until his own bloodline could come forth, and also that there would be somebody that he could manipulate, because Apollo is just, he's all resentment and ego.
Yeah, yes,
and needed this.
Yeah, and you see at one point this picture of Apollo walking away from a door, and he's looking down at his phone, and I'm pretty sure he was looking at the pictures that he took of Persephone during the assault. And I think that was when Ouranos reached out to him, apparently, and started this whole thing where Ouranos is on his side.
Yep. Now, so like you said, we see everybody beating up on Apollo, and it's so, I mean, my goodness, we have been waiting so long for this, and we kept on saying, we're like, something bad has to happen to Apollo. He needs to get the crap beaten out of him, and he is. I mean, his face is all bruised and bloodied, and his clothes are all burning up and everything, and he calls out to Ouranos, and Ouranos raises him up into the sky, and Apollo is thinking that Ouranos is going to help him. He's like, I'm so sorry, grandfather, what do we do now?
And Ouranos wanted to have more power, but he thinks this will still work, and he needs Apollo as a vessel. And you see Apollo is screaming as Ouranos just channels all his power into him. And then suddenly Ouranos is standing, and he's that godlike form that we've been seeing in flashbacks this whole time. And everybody standing around is horrified.
Oh, yeah. No. We switch over to Persephone, and there's this voice that calls out to her and calls her my child. And she says that, yes, I can heal, but I need your help. I've always needed your help.
Yeah.
And then it switches very quickly over to Ouranos again, and Hecate is looking at him, and she asks him, what is your nature?
And he says, my nature is malevolent. And that is, he has decided he's going to make everybody suffer. And he says, the mortal realm will be healed when he says, and that he thinks everybody could stand to be into the dark longer. And he knocks Persephone aside, and it knocks off her coat, and she's lying stunned in the snow. And then she suddenly looks over, and my notes say, it's Hades' business card from, like, what, episode 5, I think?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And it's been in the coat this entire time. And it's the business card that has the instructions that if she needs him, she needs to pat the ground twice, which is what she does immediately.
Immediately, yes. And we flash over to Hades, and he's still talking with Melano, and they're saying their goodbyes. And she signs, "I love you." And he says, "I love you too. And I can't wait to meet you."
My goodness. Okay, so we also see a quick shot of Hera sitting next to Kronos. And if you've forgotten, you know, he's got the body of Kronos, but Hades also made Kronos into a diamond. And I'm just, you know, going to kind of spoil something here. We don't really see how those two things match up. By the time that these two episodes end, we don't really see what's going on with that. But just forget about that for now. We now see Persephone, and she's kind of like concentrating again on healing the mortal realm. She says, "Third time the charm." And meanwhile, Ornos is flinging gods everywhere.
And Persephone, she's not getting a response from tapping on the ground, and she can't believe that they could have come this far and still fail. But then she senses something, and she looks up and she says, "What is that?" And then you see these horses, these midnight black horses, come charging out of the ground. And then suddenly there's Hades, and he said, "I did say I'd use more showmanship the next time you summoned me."
Yay!
So you got a wonderful reunion between the two of them, finally.
Oh, gracious, I was cheering so much. It's just such a great callback. I mean, that was... Man, yeah, you're like episode 5. So it may not have been quite that early, because I think that happened after Apollo had actually raped her, was the first time that she had summoned him, because she just wanted somebody to be there, not to have sex with, but just to be there while she was sleeping. So it may have been in the first dozen or so episodes, but oh my God, several hundred episodes later to have a callback that was so perfectly set up.
So perfectly set up. And Hades now knows how they can use her power. But it's not her giving power to him. And we see him giving power to her. And you see the words, "Love, real love, should go both ways."
And that's the end of the chapter. It's just amazing.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so much beautiful artwork, of course. And the commenters were going nuts. And there was one commenter. It's a wild tree lady with, like, X's in front and the back. And it says, "How's it feel, Apollo, to have your body forcibly taken by someone you thought for a moment you could trust?"
Oh, man, it's so satisfying.
Karma.
Oh, my goodness. Oh. Okay, episode 279, only available for fast passing. It starts out with Persephone is floating in the air, you know, taking this power that Hades is giving to her. And Hades is just grinning his head off.
He's so pleased. And Ouranos starts to come forward to put a stop to this. And then you see this arm, this golden arm, come and catch him and pull him back. And it's Helios. And of course, all the commenters are like, "Oh, thank goodness. All those silly macaroni drawings that Persephone did have finally come into play." But Helios, I don't think, is doing this specifically for Persephone, because he's glaring at Ouranos and he says, "Why am I not surprised you resume Gaia's punishment the moment you have arms and legs?"
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, a lot of other commenters, a lot of us, myself included, were really certain that when we saw that golden hand, thought it was Hera in her giant form.
Same,
nope,
yes.
Nope. Okay, so meanwhile, Persephone, she's kind of changed. A lot of people were kind of pointing out it's like magical girl transformation, but she really now is this giant fertility goddess. She has this long, slinky dress. Now, I don't think her breasts are bare, but her breasts and her butt are definitely, like, very much in
appearance. Oh, yeah. It's the wet t-shirt contest of dresses, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But you know what? She's a fertility goddess. That's pretty fair, you know?
Yeah, she definitely looks... It's all very sexy.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of the commenters point out, which I missed, her hair is kind of done up in a bun in the back, and the bun is actually in the shape of a rose.
Which is so appropriate. So damn appropriate.
So nice. So she just... These wonderful images of her just striding along, and she's just bringing the mortal realm back to life. And there are all these scenes of, like, happy nymphs and centaurs and fauns and even mortals just, like, looking around as everything just comes into bloom and green. It's so pretty.
And she says, "Now for the finishing touch," and she sprouts those, like, wings out of branches and flowers that she's done before. And then you see Demeter, who's like, she's got her hand clamped over Hermes's eyes to keep him from staring at her. So always going to be Demeter.
So she puts her hands on the ground and starts concentrating. Now, at that moment, that's when we see giant Hera has appeared. But she's not in her, like, glowing aspect. She is giant. We see that, you know, because Morpheus is sort of floating next to her. And she says something like, wow, the others have been busy while we were in Tartarus. But this is where it's a little bit of a narrative jump here, because we had seen Morpheus appear in front of glowing Hera and looking surprised, and Morpheus had the diamond and Hera was by the body, but now they're just here. So I don't know, maybe next episode we'll get
added to the list. Yeah.
Yeah. If we don't get an explanation, we're not going to get one, because it doesn't happen in this episode. Maybe it'll happen the next one. I don't know. But she sees Persephone and she starts walking towards her, and you see Ares look up and he's like, is that Mom?
And I think it was either Poseidon or Poseidon's wife, I couldn't quite tell, who said something like, wow, beating up her father-in-law really agrees with her.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So she reaches Persephone, and Persephone asks Hera to give her her hand, and she says she has to show her something, and she puts Hera's hand down on the ground.
And Hera's like, is that? And Persephone says, I can heal the mortal realm, but I can't free her on my own. I think it will take more than the two of us.
Yeah.
And they start glowing, and there's a summoning power going on here.
Yeah, and they hold hands, and they're concentrating, and Ouranos sees them, and he's just, God, he's such a jerk. He just, like, he's fighting with Helios, and he looks over them, and he says, hey, I know what you're trying to do, but it won't work. Now, at that moment, there's a very quick shot of, like a purple face, kind of like taking a breath and everything, and an arrow comes out of nowhere and gets him right in the eye.
And there's this fantastic picture of Artemis and Hecate and Selene, the moon goddess, on Selene's flying horse. And Selene says something like, hey, don't mess with the moon, asshole. Hecate is sitting on the horse and she's holding on to Artemis's ankles so Artemis can actually shoot the arrow. And they all look so angry.
Oh, it's great. A lot of people pointed out in the comments, that's the all three aspects of the moon in Greek mythology.
That's
Hecate,
great.
Hecate and Artemis. So it's just all moon goddesses unite. It's just amazing. So Hera and Persephone suddenly make this gesture, and slowly, in like a beautiful sequence of images, a figure appears.
And it's a figure with bright orange wings. And it's Metis. And Metis has come back. And there's this wonderful picture of Metis kissing Hera's hand. So it's the wonderful little reunion between the two of them. And then all three of them, now in a different configuration with a whole sequence of images, are also summoning. And then somebody else shows up.
It's Rhea!
Yeah!
She's so pretty, too. It's just a great image. But Ouranos immediately starts yelling at Rhea, and I have a theory about this one. He says, you were the most pathetic member of your cohort, a historical laughingstock. And I haven't researched into this. I haven't looked at what the commenters might have said, but I think that's because Rhea, like, we know from the myths that Cronos was eating all of his children, and Rhea barely managed to kind of keep Zeus away from him. And so, yeah, there is this idea that she had all these children, and she wasn't able to protect them from Cronos. And I think that's like all the horrible things he did. And so he's calling her a terrible queen because she was useless.
Yeah. Well, also, I think Cronos had to use Rhea's power in order to defeat Ouranos. So there's possibly some petty energy going on. But he tells her, you couldn't do anything as a queen. What makes you can do anything now? And she's looking down, and then she looks up and she's just got this devious smile. So now all four goddesses are in another configuration, and everything's just angled so beautifully in all of these pictures, and they start summoning somebody else.
Yep. And there, this voice comes up, and I thought at first it was Rhea talking, but it's not Rhea. The voice says, in the beginning, we loved each other so much. I gave you everything, and in turn, you were happy to take everything. When I finally realized what you were doing, it was too late. I used what little power I had left to make echoes of my being.
And then suddenly you see Gaia. So they have brought Gaia back. Yay! It's old. And she started the fertility goddesses specifically to try to leave some part of herself to fight against the whole patriarchy, basically, of this. So, beautiful, beautiful. And that's where the episode ends.
Yeah, that's it. That's the end of the chapter. So, as wonderful as this is, let's look at the things we need to figure out. One, we have to have, I mean, we've got this wonderful, everything that I wanted bad to happen to Apollo has happened. I'm assuming when Ornos gets defeated, maybe we'll see some version of Apollo. I can't imagine that Apollo's like been completely destroyed and some version of him will come back. So we're going to have to see some type of end of Apollo, and we're going to have to see some type of confrontation between Hera and Zeus.
And we're also going to have to see Leto, because Leto was specifically allowed to come back to Olympus through Apollo's machinations. So now she's been the power behind Apollo, like guiding him to do all this stuff. So we're going to have to see her get some kind of comeuppance as well. And I don't know how everything goes forward with Zeus still being in charge. So we're going to have to see if maybe this is going to be the goddesses ruling Olympus at this point, or something else. I don't know. But it's just, you know, Zeus was using Hera's power this entire time. He's not going to be as effective a god if he can't lean on that anymore, because I don't think Hera loves him anymore, and she probably never will after finding out how he'd been using her this entire time. Breaking a promise to Metis. I mean, Metis is going to have to call Zeus out for that.
Oh, God, yes. And also, Hera's definitely got a thing going on with Echo, so I hope we see a little bit of that. It's very sweet, you know. Also, we've got to see what the hell happens. Like, it's tied to the what happens to Leto, but can we please get Eros and Psyche out of the dungeon in Leto's place, please?
Right, right, because at one point during the battle between Helios and Ouranos, you see Hephaestus, and he says, I never thought I'd see a battle between the sun and the sky. And then I think it was Aphrodite next to him saying, we're seeing a lot of firsts today. And I'm like, oh, wow. What the hell happened to your son and daughter-in-law, Aphrodite? My God, nobody's paying attention to this.
Gracious. Yeah. Anything else?
Cassandra. I mean, Cassandra, I can't imagine that Leto let her go after holding her hostage to get Psyche and Eros to knuckle under. So, we got to find out what's happened to her.
There were a few commenters who had kind of been hoping that maybe this episode, 279, was going to actually be the wrap-up, and then everything else was going to be kind of like an epilogue, because a lot of people are wanting to move forward in the future so we can actually see when Persephone and Hades have Melano. I don't know that that's going to happen. Some people are hoping that maybe we'll get like a surprise epilogue after the final episode at some point. I'm like, I think that's hoping for a lot.
That's hoping for a lot. Maybe it'll be something that will be in the book when she releases the final collection. That would be a nice little bonus thing. But it seems, I mean, these things that we mention here are important, and I think they need to be released on the Webtoons app if at all possible. I mean, I'm not opposed to little extra bits, but, you know, come on, guys.
I'm sure the final episode is going to be huge. Long. I mean, yeah. These are some really long episodes.
They were.
These ones, too. They're super, super long and super beautiful. Every image. Like, the image of the horses coming up out of the ground, it was kind of where, you know, if you're used to reading the Webtoons app, it's a vertical scrolling format, but those ones you had to tilt your phone to the side because it was a horizontal image. Oh, it was brilliant.
So beautiful. And I like Hades' outfit in that, and his smile. Yes. He was just so happy in all of these images.
Yeah, because when he gave her the power, and she managed to get, I think it was, it was when she did her striding forward and getting everything in the mortal realm to be blooming again. She says something to him like, we did it. And he said, no, you did it. I'm just happy to be here. And I'm like, oh,
yay!
That's so amazing.
This whole series has been so satisfying. I don't know
really
what
has.
We're going to have to find something else as satisfying after this to squee about, because I don't know what we're going to do otherwise without that. God. And I have not heard anything else about that rumor that Rachel is wrapping this up quickly because Webtoons isn't great to work with. As far as I know, that's still just a rumor.
I don't know. I would imagine that, you know, at some point after she takes a very long and well-deserved break, she will have another project at some point, and so I wonder what that's going to look like. So that's something we can squee over.
We can, yes, absolutely.
Amazing. So I'm thinking we are going to wait the full 2 weeks so we can recap this when it actually comes out for everybody.
Yeah, we might, since it's the final one, we might as well drag this out as long as humanly possible. And yeah, it'll be good when everybody can get access to it, even the people who aren't fast-fasting.
Yeah, fair. Okay, so moving right along for this week, what I wanted to talk about was I flew back from Florida to San Diego a few days ago, and while on the plane, of course, Delta, I've got to hand it to Delta. They have a lot of amazing stuff that you can watch for free while you're on the plane. I finally started The Mayor of Kingstown, which is Jeremy Renner's show.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah, how is it?
I think it's pretty freaking amazing.
Really? No kidding.
I watched 3 episodes on the plane back to back, and that is the shortest that trip across the country has gone in a while. I mean, there was no way. Having watched the first one, I'm like, oh, well, I have to keep going. You know, I would have watched more, but the plane landed. I got back, and it seems to be free on Amazon Prime with the membership, and I'm not seeing any ads with it. So I don't know what's going on with that. If it's a limited time thing, you might want to check it out. And I have, since getting home, watched 4 more episodes.
No kidding. So. And that's been like a couple of days?
Yeah, like 3 days now. So,
jeez.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a recommendation.
Yeah, and I don't want to give away too much about it because I went into it a little bit cold. I knew it sort of looked like a police procedural, and it kind of is, but it kind of isn't. So I think it's good to go into it pretty cold. I will say something. I think you have a particular thing that you don't like, where it's not like death scenes are not terrible. You know, we can handle a little bit of gore, a little bit of blood, all that kind of stuff. You particularly have a thing about death scenes that maybe go on for a while, where the person is aware that they're going to die. There's been a couple of those.
Okay.
So,
but for me, it's,
you know,
a lot of it is decapitation. That's the thing that, like, I would rather... Ooh. Avoid, because there's been a few, like a couple of comic books. The Michael Bendis Powers book had somebody, like someone telepathically ripped somebody's head off, and it happens in like 3 panels, and you can tell that the head realizes what's happened once his head has been separated from the neck. It's that kind of thing I don't much care for. No, because that goes too far. No.
Yes, that is way too far. Nothing like that.
Okay.
Just some death scenes that are fairly brutal. And I'm not really spoiling anything by saying people die, because the body count in this show is kind of high.
I mean, okay.
I had a couple characters who I was just like, oh, I thought, okay, they're dead. All right, that's fine, you know.
See, now, what year did this come out?
I don't know, but they're about to release the 3rd, and I think final season is going to come out in June, so it hadn't been that long.
Yeah, and is this stuff that had been filmed after his accident?
No, before.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to say the 2nd season had already wrapped filming by the time he had his accident. And I think he might have actually started the final season filming after he mostly recovered from the accident.
Okay, all right, so, good. Yeah, it's good to know that he's still working, yeah.
Yes.
Because that was quite a thing. Oh, jeez.
Yes, it definitely was. But yeah, I gotta say, I mean, it's the first TV show, like, it's not fantasy sci-fi of any kind. It's very grounded, and it's the first one of those shows in a long time that I'm like, oh wow, I gotta keep watching. In fact, when we get done recording, I'm gonna watch another episode tonight. I'm like, I'm in.
I've been watching Clarkson's Farm. That's the show done on Amazon Prime by one of the Top Gear people, and it's fun. But he's, like, decided on a whim that he's going to raise pigs, and that episode coming up, some of the piglets get sick and die, and apparently it's really brutal. And I'm like, oh, God, now I have to psych myself up for that. So, yeah, violence with Jeremy Renner, sure, I'll be on that. But, I was flying back on Delta, I watched the 2nd half of the Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh,
and it's
interesting
because on the first leg of the trip, the quality was really, really bad on my screen. And then, you know, I pulled up the rest of it on the 2nd leg, and I actually went back so I could watch, you know, this, my favorite scenes, like the bits with Doc Ock. I had to watch that again, and it was just all of it was so freaking fun, and little details I didn't remember, like Spider-Man Noir makes a comment to Miles at one point, wow, that's a hell of an origin story, and the little anime Spider-Girl just kind of thwacks him on the shoulder, oomph, like that. I just love those little details. But all of the battle scenes were amazing, and again, everything with Doc Ock, I kind of hope, because they're traveling from multiverse to multiverse in these movies now, that we'll get to see that character again. Because just everything everything about her was so fun.
Yeah.
Have you heard that Nicolas Cage has been tapped? They're going to do a Spider-Man Noir movie series something? I just had that.
They're actually going to go like an entire one devoted just to Spider-Man Noir. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, I thought that was. I mean, why not? Nicolas Cage, come on. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week, so make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. No photo galleries, no, like, conventions coming up yet. Anything coming up in your neck of the woods?
GalaxyCon in July, I think, so I may try to get tickets to go to that, just so I can wear my EmojiBot costume, finally.
Damn straight. And then you've got your own personal photographer traveling around with
you. Yeah, it's very handy. Yes, no.
Nice, very nice. Well, all that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week we will recap a Night Vale episode, because I know we have one waiting for us, but there was no way we were not going to talk about Lore Olympus this time.
Right, yes, and I have no problem with pushing back Night Vale a little bit, since we're only going to be able to keep up with the schedule like a couple more weeks, and then we're going to have to find a new schedule.
I know, so ugh. So we're going to talk about that and whatever else happens to cross our path. So one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later.